Yes, Lord, we live to serve you. You have created us, Lord, to worship you. And Lord, that's the most natural thing that we could possibly ever do. And we pray that every part of our lives would be dedicated to you now. And Lord, we thank you that by your Spirit you're transforming us and refining us. And we ask today that we would be one step closer in our refinement, that we would continue to be refined more and more into your image, Jesus, by the power of your Spirit. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please do sit down. So, how imaginative are you feeling this morning? I'm going to be talking through some events of the past. And as I do, I'd encourage you, if you'd like to either close your eyes and imagine what you're hearing or seeing or things that are going on around you. God's given us imaginations that he wants us to use, and so feel free to do that. But think for one moment. We're going to be looking at a story you may have heard many, many times before to start with. So standing on the edge of the water, Moses reflected thoughtfully on all that had gone before. He told Pharaoh that the Lord had said, "Let my people go." God had promised to save his people from Egypt and lead them to the promised land, a land of milk and honey. He'd brought plagues upon Egypt because Pharaoh had refused to listen. Blood, frogs, gnats, flies, boils, hail and lightning, locusts and more. Despite this, the king had refused to let God's people go. Because of his hardened heart, the Lord had to take drastic action. The death of Egypt's firstborn sons. The Israelites had been protected. That had been the point at which Pharaoh had told them to leave. As they went in panic, the Egyptians gave them gifts of clothing, silver, and gold. God went before them, leading them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Eventually, they'd camped by the Red Sea, over 600,000 men, along with their families, standing on the bank. They saw something in the horizon. From the distance, the Egyptian soldiers were advancing on them. Pharaoh had again changed his mind. God's people complained to Moses, though he stood firm and encouraged them to trust in the Lord. Then Moses heard God's voice. "Why do you cry out to me? Tell the Israelites to go forwards. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, so the Israelites may go through the sea onto dry ground." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. Slowly, the water was held back by a strong east wind that night. It turned the sea into land. As God's people crossed, the waters formed a wall for them on their right and their left. Then the Egyptians followed, and as they moved forwards, their chariots and soldiers got stuck. God told Moses to stretch out his hand over the water, and it fell back. The Egyptian army was crushed. God's people had been led into the wilderness. The Lord was doing a new thing. God would eventually lead them to the promised land, a home where he'd then dwell with them, eventually in a temple in Jerusalem. Generations later, and again, God's people were in another foreign land. They'd promised and prospered, or God had promised them great things, and they'd prospered in their home. The Lord had given them kings who turned out both good and bad. But sadly, the land had been divided. Time and again, God's people had turned away from the Lord, built shrines to other gods. Time and again, they turned back to him as well. Eventually, the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, had overtaken Jerusalem, and the temple where God had dwelt had been destroyed. God allowed his people to be taken away to a foreign land, and through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord spoke again to his people. And this is where we hear our reading. Isaiah 43, verses 14 to 21. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I will send to Babylon and break down all the bars, and the shouting of the Chaldean people will be turned to lament. I am the Lord your Holy One, the Creator of Israel your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. The Lord was still with them. His people were to remember the lessons of the past, but to forget the ways of the past. God would rescue them and would do a new thing in and through them. The Lord would make a way, and they would know it because it was him. They would know it's him because they would sense that he was at work. The Lord's people would in turn praise the God whom they worshipped and they'd been formed to worship. Now, as I reflected on this last week, I wasn't aware at that time that Cherie or anybody else had been looking or discerning work or other new things that have come about this week. But God is clearly speaking to us as his church. He is doing a new thing. The Lord was doing a new thing then in his people. He would lead them back to their home. God's people would return to their land. The Babylonians would be overthrown by the Persians until Alexander the Great came to rule, and then would come the Romans. Oppressed and downtrodden. Sorry, I want to go back there because I've just missed out an important part. So Assyria, then Babylon, and then you had the Greeks, and then the Romans. So it wasn't just one or two, it was four different empires there. They were oppressed and downtrodden. God's people waited again to be saved. They waited for the promised Savior, a king born of David's line. God was about to do a new thing. But this time, the king wasn't quite what they were expecting. Enter Jesus. Born to Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem, exiled to Egypt as he was in fear of his life, and then raised in Nazareth. And as Jesus grew, he became a good teacher, devout in his faith. But this man was different. He did miracles. He healed the sick, the blind, the lame. He even raised the dead. He spoke truth and called out the power-hungry religious leaders. He had quite an odd group of followers. Later, out of spite, and after being let down by his friends, Jesus was put on trial with trumped-up charges and then executed on a cross. To those there, everything was lost. And then God did a new thing. 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead. He defeated death. His promise was fulfilled. He appeared to many, ate food with his friends, and then ascended to heaven. But it didn't end there, because God was again doing a new thing. He sent his Spirit among his followers. They baptized new believers, healed the sick, raised the dead. Filled with the Holy Spirit, they made Jesus known. The believers grew in number and in community. The church was born. God's people spoke out. They were persecuted, but they had hope because of their Lord. They never gave in. God was about to do a new thing. Saul, a Roman Jew who'd murdered Christians, was on a journey. Towards Damascus he went, and then boom, a light from heaven flashed down onto the ground. An unplanned meeting with the Lord. "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting," he said. God was doing a new thing. Saul, now Paul, stepped out in faith. With others, they made Jesus known. Thessalonica, Galatia, Athens, Corinth, Ephesus, Philippi, Colossae, and Rome. The church grew and the word spread. Jesus is alive and he brings new life. God was doing a new thing as his people made Jesus known. The non-Jewish church grew in faith, helped as Paul wrote to his friends. Those in Galatia wrote, this is from Galatia 5, "Live by the Spirit and do not gratify desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are as obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, and things like these. I'm warning you, as I've warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let's not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. Led by God's word, early leaders of the faith brought together all the teachings, the accounts of Jesus' life, and the letters to the church, not leaving out the backstory, the Jewish scripture. The Bible was born. God was doing a new thing. But that wasn't the end. Constantine the Great, perhaps by the persuasion of his mum, made Christianity the main faith of the Roman Empire. Yet again, God was doing a new thing. The Roman Empire, however, split into two. Roman Catholic and Eastern Orthodox denominations grew. Eventually, new groups of Christians appeared, too many to number, but with their differences. Statements of belief were agreed, causing some to fall away. God, by his Spirit, throughout, continued to do a new thing. And so, fast forward to today. If we've invited Jesus into our lives, the same Holy Spirit is at work in and through you and me. Now in 2023, the Lord is at work in our hearts, growing us in faith, doing a new thing, challenging us to step out in faith, as we've heard friends in our fellowship doing today. And when we look at the journey God's people have been on, we see how he grows in us faith and then calls us to step forwards into something new, into something unknown. In the new and unknown, we're called to simply trust and rely on the Lord to provide. So what might that new thing be for us, both individually and corporately today, as the saints of all saints? How is God preparing us for this next season? And how might we respond to his call together as his church? Are we open to doing a new thing this year? Have we invited God's Spirit to bring something new into our lives? I expect when the new year came, many of us thought about the things that we'd wanted to do, and also the things that we hope would be better in 2023. It's great to have a new start. And I wonder if this year we are increasingly being called by God to grow his spiritual fruit in our lives. Let's remember the dangers within that, though, because when things go both well and not so well, we're in danger of fossilizing our way of thinking, closing our minds to the ways that God might be doing new things in us. And this happens out of fear of failure or the trap of success. But Jesus wants us to keep our minds open so that we can perceive the new thing that he's doing through us. But how do we keep our minds open in the world today? Well, I think the way to that is by looking outwards rather than inwards. We heard how Paul said that we should live by the Spirit, the desires of the flesh that he mentioned. They're all ways of us wanting to satisfy me. But when we invite God's Spirit into our lives, we become open to doing something new. And as a result, God grows in us good fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As he grows that fruit, we begin to look outwards to others rather than inwards to ourselves. And as God's Spirit works powerfully in our lives, we step out in faith, we step forwards in love, and we step up to the Lord as he inspires us to step out to make Jesus known. Meeting people where they are and drawing people towards a relationship with Jesus. This is how God grows the church. And friends, that's the invite today. How do we perceive that? Will you step forwards in faith, in love, and step out to make Jesus known? Are you open to the Lord doing something new in and through you this year? And are we, if we believe that God will provide, are we open to him to do that and willing to step out in faith as he does something new? You see, God seems to enjoy disturbing the comfortable. He invites us to believe he'll do a new thing in our lives and that something will lead us to let go of the strings of control, daring us to let him stretch us out in faith. It's not just a case of, is it new, it's right, because not everything new is right. It's important for us to weigh things together in the light of God's word. But recently, I've come to wonder whether this really is a word for us both here and also for all those in the churches in Dedworth. The Lord says, I'm about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I've had so many people say to me over the last few months that it's been incredible the number of new faces and people that have come and joined the church. And you know what is so much, it just so amazing is this. When we look at those people that have come here, they haven't come here because they've necessarily met a member of the church, but because they felt God calling them here. It's not been a case of come and join our club. It's been a case of being open to where the Lord is calling you. Now, I'm aware that some here may still be discerning where the Lord's calling them. And so we're certainly not saying, you've come, that's it, you don't go. What we're doing is we're wanting to say and pray, where's the Lord calling us all? And individually, where's he calling us all to worship and things like that, of course. But the thing is that I believe, and I think a lot of people have also expressed this, that God is actually bringing people here, not just to come here to become Sunday Christians and to drink filter coffee and have cake afterwards, as lovely as that is, but because he wants to do something in this world with the people he's called here right now. He wants to transform lives, and he's called us together to do that. Do you not perceive that God is about to do something new here through his church? And friends, to get to that place, we need to ask the Lord to refine us And that means that we've got to put more of ourself down and lay it out before the cross. To say, your will, Lord, be done, not mine. In your time, in your way. And every single one of us has a journey this year to make with the Lord. But we don't do that on our own, because we are church together. And having only been here 19 months now, not that I'm counting every single one of the months, I had cause to, because I was working out if I could ask someone to sign my passport. But the thing is that I can't think of a better body of faith-filled Christians, followers of Jesus, that I'd like to take and make that journey with this year. Because you are so full of love. And I know that when I screw up, you'll be there, smiling, being nice, please. Let's just pray, shall we? Holy Spirit, we thank you so much. We thank you so much that you're with us. We thank you for your grace at work in our lives. And we thank you so much for the real opportunities that we have to serve you. And for the way that we do that together, Lord, and we discern your will together, and we're called together as your church. Jesus, grow in us this year hearts that depend upon you. Help us to perceive the new thing that you're doing, but not to run ahead of you, but to stay with you. And today, Lord, we just bring before you those things that we recognize in our hearts and lives that we want to bring before you as part of that. We lay down all our striving. And we want to just receive your grace. Come, Holy Spirit, pour your grace upon us. Open our minds and hearts that we would see your kingdom coming here. That we would see you at work and all that you're doing and grow in faith. And help us, Lord, to do life together in a way that helps us together to discern what it is that you're doing. And as we do that, Lord, may your kingdom come, and may your will be done, as we see your kingdom grow and more people come to know you, Jesus, as their Savior. This, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.